Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this flowing dystopia, it's episode number 320 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag presents the latest ramblings on the Scottish guy, and boy is Notre Dame being petty with Purdue this weekend. At 12:30, we talk a little NFL, including the Dolphins being without a receiver for their matchup with the Bills this weekend. And in mere minutes, it's our weekly chat with the great Brian Jones of CBS. I'm Trey Elling. Across the glass today is a guy who is one of my favorite people up here, produces the morning show, occasionally helps us out in the middays. It is Isaiah Collier. Say, what's going on today?
What's happening, Shirts and Skins?
And sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
You damn right. I just watched 16 Candles, a little bit of it the other day. I thought he was about to call you hot stuff. I really thought he was, what's happening, hot stuff? I thought that was about to happen. All right.
Hey, Zay, have you told Bucky that we were making a concerted effort to steal you away from the morning show yet? I hear he was making more comparisons about Chad and I today.
Yeah, he was. Well, it didn't help you guys going 0-5. In y'all's picks.
That was tough.
That was a little brutal. Yeah. So
that was not a good response to the criticism we faced last week.
No, it wasn't the opposite. I have not told him.
Just a horrible start to that one.
You're Michael Scott. I'm apparently Tammy Faye, so I'm calling...
Ooh, Tammy Faye. Yeah, That's interesting.
I'm calling Bucky a hybrid between Oscar from The Office and Tammy Faye's husband, Jim Baker.
Now, the other day, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this out loud.
Hang on one second.
But the other day, Bucky and I were having a conversation, and he referred to you as Larry King. I took that as a big compliment, like he was saying you're a really good interviewer.
That's the funny thing about that guy trying to throw slights my way. All he's doing is just adding to the praise.
Right, I thought that was good news.
He's still fake bent about the Troy Aikman interview.
Okay.
Which I stand behind. I talked to Troy's PR guy. He's like, man, we did four of those, and you were far and away the best one. I'm like, all right, thank you.
Nice.
Now, can you email the morning show host and tell him that?
Can you please tell somebody else that for me? All right, we got a lot to do, and we do have Brian Jones coming up here in the first segment. But before that, let's get right in here with our Specs Set Piece. A little bit of good news going into Texas and Rice. Let's do that.
The Specs Set Piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. Cheer on Verde with Specs' larger selection of world-class wines, spirited spirits, and craft beers. Score more at Specs, official partner of Austin FC.
Now, Trey, it's not like in 2021 you necessarily need every single bullet to fire against Rice, but Jarrett Wiley being available is pretty good news for Texas. Let's see how they use number 18, but the depth chart has had an or there with Jarrett Wiley, and that hasn't really been about his talent. That's just been about him coming back from the injury, but they say he's been practicing and he is available tomorrow for Texas.
Usually cool with guys sucking it up and playing, but for Jarrett Wiley, because this is a shoulder issue that really could have caused him to miss the season opener as well, I hope that he's that close to 100%. Versus trying to play through some pain, Chad, I would rather him sit one more week versus try to push it to where this is a guy that we're going to be dealing with in a hobbled form for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough part, because you've got two games coming here. Certainly one game. If we want to give Texas Tech the respect of, hey, it's conference play and you never know. But this is one game that feels like if you were going to get a little extra rest in, this might be the opportunity. But they say he's ready to go. We'll see what it looks like.
I love Jarrett Wiley as a player. Still waiting for him to get utilized as much in the passing game. Like to see him get a little bit better at blocking as well. But he can be a key piece for this Longhorn offense that is struggling to find reliable pass catchers right now.
All right, there's our spec set piece. It is Friday, and we jump right in with the best discussions we can find. And this is not the most popular guy in Austin right now, but only because he tells the truth. It is time to talk to Brian Jones. Here we go.
The Friday Football Conversation with Brian Jones is brought to you by Spotash Mobile Haircuts. Cut your hair anytime, anywhere. Download the Spotash app from the Apple or Google Play stores and order today.
The man said he wished he was wrong. We've all had that feeling, what we think is going to happen versus what we want is going to happen. Brian Jones of CBS Sports joined us last week, and he predicted that Arkansas would win. He said they'd be more physical, and dadgummit, Brian, you were right.
Well, if Trey is Tammy Faye, I must be Jimmy Swagger. I am Faye.
Brian, to quote the sophomoric classic, Happy Gilmore, I'm stupid, you're smart, I was wrong, you were right, you're the best, I'm the worst, you're very good looking, I'm not really attractive. Good job by you for seeing the forest through the trees versus Louisiana, because pretty much everything that you were talking about last week played out on Saturday night in Fayetteville. Was there something that was most concerning to you, whether it was just how bad the offensive line was or the defensive line playing like Jamokes throughout most of that night as well? What was most concerning for you last Saturday?
Well, I witnessed, once I went through the game film, and speaking of the game film, I was attempting to send Chad some clips of my film study. Chad, what type of phone are you working with? Are you still have the flip phone? I know. I mean, it just said reject. Like, I don't know what the hell you're dealing with over there.
How dare you?
But, Trey, I'll send them to you next time.
Thank you, BJ. And I already got a few of those from our mutual friend behind the scenes.
Oh, well, that's exactly what I wanted to share with Chad. So you know where I'm going.
That is so
more of the same. It was more of the same that I witnessed in the victory versus Louisiana. And when you're watching a game from a television standpoint, that's one thing. Every now and then you'll get a replay, but they just don't have time to delve into the intricacies on every play. But when you sit there and you study every single play and you're watching every position, you get a whole nother perspective. And it was much of the same that I witnessed in the Louisiana game. That's why I predicted Arkansas, a much physical football team, although they've been ranked as one of the lower teams in the SEC West, still they, with the three upsets a season ago, another upset in which they were robbed there on the Plains versus Auburn, they know what it takes to play in that league. Texas now knows what it takes to play in that league, because I don't believe there's anyone remaining on that roster that went up against Georgia in that Sugar Bowl. And so we say this all the time, guys. You know, what do you get when you don't get what you want? You get experience. And that's exactly what they got. They have a better appreciation of what it takes to play at that league on a week-to-week basis. Because Arkansas is probably, what, fourth, fifth in the West, if that. And,
yeah.
And so for them to whip up on you like that, if this doesn't help you, nothing will. Because there were some very glaring, some extremely problematic issues watching that film. Defensively, not physical enough, as the clips I shared with you, displays. But I think the guys are thinking too much. They don't have a grasp of what is being asked of them on the defensive side of the ball. And I understand. This is their third defensive coordinator in the last 3 years. I get it. But there was one play, and I need to share this with you. They had two man, so you got two deep safeties. You're playing man underneath. You get trips to the field, and the backer, Overshawn, and the what's his name?
Brockermeyer.
Brockermeyer. They got the tight end and the remaining back. It's 11 personnel, and these guys both take the damn tight end, and they take him late. And he's open, and the back's open. So you take your pick who you want to throw it to, but they're thinking so much that they're not able to communicate with each other, because it's a simple banjo call. Whoever comes inside, you got him. Whoever goes outside, I got it. It's simple, bland football. But that tells me that they don't have a good understanding, a good grasp of what's being asked for them right now. So you really just can't fly around when you're out there thinking too much. So I'll give them a little cover with that. But from a physical aspect, there's no rhyme or reason why you can't go out there and want to hit someone. Those clips I showed you guys of those Penn State guys, man, I don't even know how to explain how I was about to come out of my seat breaking down that film as they get ready for a tough one versus Auburn, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. But that's how you play football. You got to have a nose for the ball. You got to hit who's in front of you or whoever ends up in front of you. And we're not doing that. Texas is not doing that. All this stepping on the defensive line. Okay, you don't step. Make sure your ass steps into the guy. First, you got to initiate that contact. They're not doing that. They're not playing violent football. And the SEC and big boy football is unapologetically violent. That's how I describe it. And that's how it's played. And I had to learn the hard way. I've been on the wrong side of those beatdowns. And you learn from it, and that's how Texas has to play. So once they get a better grasp of this defense, fine. But the physical aspect should always be there. If you don't take the wrong gap, make sure you're doing it 100 miles an hour. You've heard coaches say that from peewee ball. Make sure you're going full board. So I can't justify these guys not being physical. That's what really, really bothers me. You're going to make mistakes. Hell, Penn State had 97 plays versus Wisconsin their first ball game. And they had some mistakes in there because those undercats have scholarship players too. They're going to get some. But Penn State was able to bow their neck on the goal line. When you're on that goal line, you got to act as though you're on the edge of a cliff. So ain't no going backwards. And I see other teams. We've talked about Georgia. We talked about Clemson. We've discussed, Penn State and others, man. And you look at that and how physical they are. You have to have that. If you don't have that, you have nothing. It has to start there, and it has to start in the trenches. And offensive line, defensive line, oh, my goodness. That number 70, Jones, he can change his last name, dude. He's giving all of us a bad name. I was like, I ain't trying to keep up with that, Jones. And I don't want to pick on the young man. I don't want to pick on it because I have played some bad football before in my life. But, whew, that was rough. I hope somebody gave him a hug Sunday night or Sunday after that game because he needed one, man. And he'll get better. He'll learn from that. I know we're joking.
Oh,
but, he'll learn from that, hopefully. And all of them will learn from that because – As tough as it is, that's part of it. It hurts right now for the Longhorn Faithful. Everyone's asking me, "Are you all right?" Yeah, I'm fine, man. I won't be fine if this is still occurring. 5, 6, 7, 8 games down the line. But right now, it's similar to that tequila I be drinking. It's not so bad once it burns the nerve in me. you just gotta hunker down and take it.
Talking with Brian Jones, CBS Sports. All right, Brian, now that you got through the blocking and the tackling and the physicality part of it, let's talk about the guy your Longhorns are snapping the ball to. Did you think a quarterback move needed to be made sooner in the game, and what do you think about Casey starting against Rice?
Well, there's no doubt that, Hurd, he's out of sync with his guy, especially on the deep ball. And he was a little tentative, and he is not he doesn't have that urgency to take off as Casey Thompson showcased. Now, here's the other deal, though. Casey was in there against the, third and, well, I shouldn't say third, but at least, some second stringers. He was in there against the same cats that Hudson was having to face. Yeah. But apparently there's a different energy from the people I've spoken with this week when Casey's in there. So we're going to get to see that. And yes, Rice, but still it's football and hopefully that energy and a more focused unit will go out and show better than they did last week. This is what bothered me about the rhetoric following the game, because there were some folks who know a hell of a lot about football were saying, well, we were outcoached. I've seen those same plays run by Alabama, and they beat the brakes off for Arkansas. So Texas wasn't out coached. Texas just doesn't have the Jimmys and the Joes that Alabama has, that Oklahoma has, and others possess. That's what happened, because I've seen those same plays where they hit the deep balls. I've seen it where a quarterback is in sync with his wide receivers. A quarterback is not skittish. So that's just ridiculous. I think that's a ludicrous take. They weren't out coached. We'll see what happens with the quarterback position, and it's fine. This is part of this process. They've got to figure out who the guys. Casey Thompson couldn't play defense. Hell, yeah, he may have saved some drives, and he uses his wheels a lot more, not afraid to take off and run, but he couldn't play defense, so there was no way Texas was going to win that ball game unless they had scored touchdowns on every drive.
The frustrating thing with the coaching on offense, BJ, is apparently at halftime, Hudson Carr was still being told to keep his eyes up and keep looking downfield and try and keep plays alive to throw the football versus looking those for those opportunities to run. If that's what's being said, then the guys who are diagnosing the changes that need to be made for the second half, well, they're failing right there. Defensively, though, I think it was a matter of out-coaching, too, because not only were guys not being aggressive to the point of attack, which I completely agree with, so that's an execution problem, at some point, Kwiatkowski needed to realize that he needed to go with some odd boxes, get extra guys in there, and really dare Arkansas's quarterback, KJ Jefferson, who's not great throwing the football downfield, to try a few more intermediate and deep routes.
Well, I saw odd boxes and I saw man defenses. So when you're playing man, that means you're putting extra guys in the box. And even when they did that, you had defensive linemen being driven back 3, 4, 5 yards, which were problematic for the backers when they were attempting to scrape. You had linebackers not playing over the top. You had linebackers not striking would-be blockers and shedding them, as we discussed last week heading into this ball game. So if you're playing man, that means we want to focus more attention on their run game, but yet they still couldn't stop them. As far as what directive you're giving as a player, you're out there. Okay, you want me to do this? Well, the situation didn't grant me the opportunity to play it ideally how you just described it, Coach. So you have a feel of the game. You go out there and you utilize your athleticism. That's on you. You're the one in the line of fire. They can draw it up all pretty and nice, but hell, you got to make adjustments on the fly as a player. And he has the ability to do that, and he has the authority to do that because he's the one facing the live bullet. So, once again, you watch Casey Thompson when he got in. He's like, ain't nothing down here. Bye. I'm down. you just have to have a feel for it, and then you employ your athleticism. So Casey did that. And so I wouldn't tell any football player, hey, man, I want you to go out there and I want you to be a robot, and I want you to play this to the letter. You know, you have to – what you should be taught is take care of your assignment and then – go be a football player. That's what we were taught as defensive guys. It's not enough to say, Coach, I took care of my assignment. Okay, you got your gap, but the ball is over there in that gap. So you take care of what you're supposed to do as it's drawn up, but then you go find the damn ball. Offensively, the same thing. If it's not there, there's a reason we recruited you, because you're a hell of an athlete as well, not just a passer. You're not just a quarterback. Go showcase your ability to run the rock.
All right, Brian, let's get two quick picks from you before we're done. The Iron Bowl teams are on the road this week. Bama at Florida, the big CBS 230 game, obviously, you guys are going to be dealing with. Can Florida keep this close like they did at the SEC title game?
Man, something is telling me that they can.
Oh.
But they flipped the script. They've gone from the number one passing team in the nation to the number one rushing team in the nation. It's primarily through these two quarterbacks, Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson. And Richardson is outpacing Jones, and he has about 30 to 40-some possessions or plays, and where Emory Jones has 100-and-something plays. And Emory Jones, man, he's late. I was just watching their game film from last week versus USF. He had two picks, should have had at least two others that they dropped. So his passing is not where it needs to be right now. I want to think they can, but I'm going to say no. They're without Ventrell Miller. Aggie fans remember Ventrell Miller, their linebacker, because Isaiah Spiller ran all through him last year in that big fourth down run in the upset there in College Station. So I think Bama will roll again, even though they're banged up on the defensive side with Allen out, and Anderson's now banged up their other defensive stud and outside linebacker. So, no. They may, they may keep it close for a little bit, but I'm going to say no.
No, I think you're right.
One of the other big ranked matchups this weekend, Brian, is a game that you mentioned in that excellent first answer. Those linebackers for Penn State getting to the point of attack. They're 5-point favorites with Auburn coming into Happy Valley. What do you think happens in that one?
Well, I think this is going to be a close ball game. This one may mirror what we saw in the first ball game for Penn State versus Wisconsin on the road. What was that, 16-10? Was the final score. But it's going to hinge on Bo Nix. Bo Nix is under new management. He's got his third OC in the last 3 years, and Mike Bobo. And everyone said, oh, he's looked great. Okay. Who was that against? Akron and Alabama State. Now he's going up to Happy Valley. It's going to be white out at night. It's going to be jumping. And this defense, man, those two clips I shared with you, Trey, that's just a microcosm of what they do. They got about five or six guys, defensive end backers, that are interchangeable. And they've got a safety number one, Brisker, I believe is his last name. He comes downhill bringing the funk. But Tank Bigsby, he's like that Bijan Robinson. If there's anybody on that Texas roster that's ready for the SEC, it's Bijan Robinson. That kid is a beast, and Tank Bigsby is the same. He proved that last year as a true freshman. So it should be interesting to watch Bigsby and their big offensive line go up against this this front seven of Penn State. I'm going to go with Penn State in the ball game because I just can't trust Bo Nix. The numbers say that he can't get it done on the road. He's a lot worse as a quarterback, statistically speaking, on the road than he is at home.
BJ, real quick, it was discouraging enough seeing the highlights of those Texas linebackers playing so passively and having no idea what the bleep they were supposed to be doing. But when you added the Penn State linebackers to the overall viewing experience, it was that much more discouraging. I went from a guy believing that this Texas team could win 9 or 10 games now to being like, I don't know, 8 feels really good at this point. Can we get above 500 this year? I'm not sure anymore.
What are you trying to do, Brian? Listen, you trying to depress my guy here? What are you doing?
Well, it was depressing to me, too. And I got a warm feeling down my leg watching the Penn State guys. Man, that number 13, Alex Brooks. Whew! I mean, they look for it. That 46, 40, 13, 12, 1, those cats are looking for. They play fast, but not in a hurry. And that's what you want.
And that was against a really physical Wisconsin team, too.
Exactly. Those big old horses. And Aaron Taylor and I got into this on the show the other night because AT said, well, you know, I like those Penn State players, a little undersized, going up against this big Auburn offensive line. They went, well, AT, did you see that big old Wisconsin line? I mean, those cats average about 6'6", 330, 340. So it's going to be an interesting ball game. But that's where they need to get to, Trey. That's part of the process. You got to get some guys in there that don't have an aversion to contact. Why play linebacker if you're not going to hit anybody? Where else can you hit somebody in the mouth and not go to jail? A football field. I mean, damn, take advantage of that.
Oh, man. That's so great.
All right, Brian, here's what we're going to do. You keep sending the stuff. I'm going to, like, tweak up the coat hanger and the aluminum foil. and I'm going to tell Betty that shares the party line with me to let those things come through. So you keep sending them.
BJ, you know this cheap bastard bought his phone at a flea market. That's why it doesn't receive videos.
Oh, my goodness. My phone cussed me out for trying to send that twice to him, man.
That's funny. All right, Brian, have a good week, man. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right.
Later, BJ.
Brian Jones, ladies
that
and gentlemen.
Awesome.
And as always, it's brought to you by Spa-Dash Mobile Haircuts. Speedy, safe, and stylish. Visit spa-dash.com or download the Spa-Dash app now. Up next, we'll transition to the NFL. Another great primetime game for the NFL last night. It was in the Cowboys division, so we'll take a look at that one. Plus, Week 2 has some intriguing matchups, including what's left of the Cowboys trying to take on the Chargers. Coming up at 12:45, the Crap Bag, including the Scottish guy. And if you love to make your picks, Brandon Lang's going to try to help you out at 1. Stay with us. It's The Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Oh, look out now. Oh, my first name ain't Baby.
Nasty.
It's Janet.
Nasty boy. Oh,
the nasty boy. Jackson, you nasty. Featuring a young Paula Abdul. Sitting right there beside her, the choreographer. Oh, man.
Was this post Laker girl, Paula Abdul?
Right. Actually, it's around that time. She might have still been a Laker girl when she was doing choreography. And then she was just sitting there in the movie theater. Remember they were in a movie theater? And she's just bobbing her head. Nasty boys. And it's like, we didn't even know who she was. But this was such a good Janet Jackson. Janet growing up. Saying I'm on my own. I'm not Michael's sister.
She had a couple of those.
I'm not just Joe's daughter. Get out of my way.
She had a couple of those moments,
yeah,
including the quote-unquote wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl.
Oh, that was nice.
Which does seem staged in retrospect.
I don't know about that, but I didn't even know those things existed.
What, breakaway tops?
No, the nipple clamp thing. Didn't even know that was a thing. And then I saw it on her. Like, damn.
What, are you talking about like an alligator clamp or a nipple ring?
Well, you know it was like a sun that was on there. Did you not watch the event?
Oh, the tassel?
Yeah.
The tassel. Like I really don't. I've seen so many.
It was like a metal.
I've seen so many in my life, Zay.
Obviously.
And it just ends up in the background.
No, it was like a silver metal sun from what I remember that was right on top of it. And
Zay,
so,
do you remember this?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Because if you don't know something exists and then you get to see it on a canvas, that fantastic. It was amazing. It was one of the greatest. We should have been celebrating it as a country. We should have embraced it. Instead, we got repressed and we got, you know, we just lost our minds.
Oh, I see what you're talking about here.
You see that thing? It was amazing.
So it really is fitting around, not the areola, but the actual, what is that pencil eraser called? What's the medical name for that?
I don't know exactly. I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know if that itself is the nipple or if there's something else. But anyway, it was beautiful. She's beautiful. She was beautiful then. She is beautiful now. And we should have been celebrating that. That's what every parent should have said when their kid said, "Oh my God, Mom, I just saw her breast." The answer should have been, "And wasn't it impressive? Move on." Wasn't it impressive? Cliffy, Billy, Eddie, Suzette, whatever your kid's name was, teach them that beautiful boobs are sometimes to be looked at. Janet didn't want us to see that one at that exact moment, but we saw it. Nothing wrong. No harm, no foul.
But Chad, if we don't demonize these things, then those kids that they're demonized to won't be infatuated with them as adults.
Yeah.
It is called the nipple, too. The pencil eraser
is actually the
nipple.
But
not the whole thing. I thought the areola and the pencil eraser collectively were the nipple.
Isaiah, can I get some respect for Janet Jackson in the If video? That's my favorite Janet Jackson. Is that okay with you? Is that how does that rank for you on Janet Jackson's?
The If video?
Wasn't it If? Wasn't that the name of the song?
You're going to have to sing it for me.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that. But with the abs and that top with the
oh, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. The curly hair.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, that was a Janet Jackson now.
This was a good look. I don't remember the song at all either, Zay, but I do remember the video.
My Lord. That is something. All right.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks to Isaiah for playing that. We're going to blame all of that on Isaiah because he played Janet Jackson. It's all your fault. It's all your fault, Isaiah.
This video is just weird to start. It's in like Bangkok or something.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Janet Jackson is dressed in a culturally inappropriate manner, according to 2021 terms. And I guess it turns into her dancing in some sort of industrial area in Germany. What is going on in this video?
It looks like they shot part of it in the same set where Michael shot Remember the Time. Remember that one where they did a little bit of an Egyptian feel, like in a temple or like a castle or something?
Yeah, Eddie Murphy was in that.
That's right.
That's right.
He was in that video.
Eddie was in that. All right, so a lot of football on the board. We just talked with Brian Jones. We are resetting our Friday guests. If you have not been with us the last couple of weeks, we're going Brian right at the top of the show at 12. 1 o'clock for you degenerates. We got two. We got double the degenerates now on a Friday. It is a double degenerate Friday. Brandon Lang of BrandonLang.com at 1:05. And thanks to his experience back in the day in Chicago, drink up, Trey has run down another betting guy for us. It is the one and only Sammy P from Nesson. He joins us at 2:05 each Friday. And we'll get our Coors Light six-pack picks going at 1:30. I have a slight lead on Trey after week two. We'll see what happens this week.
Sammy P was not happy with his performance last week, so he's promising to bounce back strong this week.
Excellent.
He went 2-4, I believe, last week.
Oof, okay. He's man enough to admit it, though, just like we're man enough to say we were 0-5.
He owns it.
In our show picks
it was
last
a bad week.
Week
for a lot of people. I would feel worse
right.
about 0-5 if literally half the people picking didn't go 0-5.
Oh, my God. So, Trey, did you watch any or all of Washington and the Giants last night?
I watched bits and pieces, saw the nice Saquon run early in that game, saw the Daniel Jones run for the first touchdown.
Yeah.
Taylor Heinicke, he is impressive. You heard people around that organization say, look, even though Fitzpatrick is out now, don't count Washington out just yet. Heinicke is a gamer, and that was on display last night. And then I also saw the Giants going full giant at the end of the game, allowing Washington the second field goal opportunity to win it, which, of course, they took advantage of. And credit Washington for coming back, getting the ball down the field into field position, into field goal position to give them a chance to win. And they did.
So I'm a firm believer in sports gods and, in this case, football gods. Here's my belief on that last kick. Once Dexter Lawrence jumps off sides and you have the D Ford moment from a few years ago with the Chiefs, once that happens, I firmly believe that the Washington football team could have set that field goal up and pointed the kicker at the press box, and it still would have gone through the uprights.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that ball wasn't going to go through. Dexter Lawrence had that look on his face like, oh, my God, we just worked this hard, we just did all that, and I just cost my team. And the fact that he is, and at least D Ford can tell me he was on the edge of the line, Trey, Dexter Lawrence was as close to that football. He could have touched it if he wanted to. And inexcusable to jump off sides when you are that close to the football and only thing you're supposed to do is key the football. That's it. And he screws it up. But Washington made the plays. As an Aggie, I'll tell you the Ricky Seals-Jones touchdown was kind of nice.
Yeah.
One of my guys, it was Oklahoma then A&M or A&M then Oklahoma? Which one was he?
I feel like he was A&M second.
Maybe second? Yeah, it ended up at Oklahoma. It ended up at A&M.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? But that's the kind of guy that can fit into that freaky tight end role now in NFL if you do it right.
He's a guy who has lasted. He has a little bit of Gerald Everett in him where you're not going to rely on him to block too much, but he is a dynamic pass catcher. And that was the case going back to his A&M days where he lined up outside a whole lot more, realized he probably wasn't quite fast enough to remain at wide receiver at the NFL level, so he shifted to come that flex tight end, and he's carved out a nice little career for himself.
But I will say, as a Cowboys fan watching that game, you realize that the NFC East is going to be the NFC East this year. There are things that are dangerous at times, but if the Cowboys are what they're supposed to be, they can absolutely win that division. Like that, you know, you can't let not look. I'm not saying McLaurin and Ricky Seals-Jones and Saquon Barkley aren't going to hurt the Cowboys a little bit and score on them, but when you had that game stay 7-7 as long as it did and the scoring only got up a little bit later on, those are both teams that if the Cowboys can get the right game going and jump them early, they can beat those teams and control those teams if they play the right game.
McLaurin is a special player, wide receiver. I'm glad to see him starting to get his love now because he not only makes defensive backs look foolish a lot of the time, he is very capable of catching what most of us would consider an uncatchable football if it came our way.
You caught the one last week, right? The one where he went sideways?
Yeah.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
That was I haven't seen the movie. I know I need to, but that was the Matrix, right? That was lean back, Matrix angle.
Absolutely.
How in the world did he see the ball?
Tyler Lockett last Sunday did a version of that. McLaurin's was more impressive because he was up against the sideline.
Yeah.
Lockett was into the end zone and he didn't have to worry about any sort of out of bounds.
Dude, I'm sorry. That's just every week I turn on the Red Zone channel and I watch quarterbacks make throws that make me make noises, and I watch receivers make catches that make me make noises. I scream. Mm-hmm. My girls make fun of me all the time. I scream and yell in the house just from catches. It's amazing. The footwork, the body control, the hand strength, everything that they're showing off now.
Yeah.
The wonderful just freakiness of the receiver position, and then the quarterbacks dialing things in and hitting those NFL windows. It's one of my favorite things in sports. I just love it.
Take that. Take those reactions and now apply them to random punts happening throughout the afternoon on Saturday and Sunday. That's what my wife and kids have to deal with.
I'll do that too, though. I'll do that. You know I love a good punt. We're both in that club now.
Yeah.
I'm in Club Leckler, and you're in your club, Club Dixon.
Dixon, yeah.
We have to appreciate great punters.
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, I've started picking out nominees for the Books on Pod Punt of the Week. Books on Pod, making you want to punt on other podcasts.
Ah, that's well done.
So you can follow me at Courtesy Wave on Twitter to get some of that hilariousness.
That is well done. This week, of course, you got the Cowboys at the Chargers. As of right now, as far as I know, since yesterday's show, no additional Cowboys have been harmed in the practicing of this game. I've not heard about anybody else missing the game. Dexter Lawrence, that's what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. DeMarcus Lawrence was the last guy that we've heard about officially, plus the Leon Lett story, which is just sad and silly and weird on its face.
Yeah, so it's Lyle Collins out with a drug suspension.
Yep.
Lawrence out with the injury.
Yeah.
Leon Lett out with an injury. Michael Gallup is hurt. He's going to miss a little bit of time.
Correct.
Did he get put on IR?
He was IR with the calf.
Yeah. Ah, that's a bummer.
And so now, and then you're just praying that the Cowboys can figure out COVID math with Randy Gregory.
And the COVID math with Randy Gregory. So when do we find out about that one way or the other?
He needs two negative tests within 24 hours, and his head coach keeps saying 10 days. So hopefully they can shut the coach up, but and then the medicine, the medical people can realize that. That's all it is, Trey.
Yeah.
Which would tell me if my NFL intuition is right here. That would mean that Randy Gregory is vaccinated probably,
mm-hmm.
based on NFL stuff we know. He just needs a two negative tests within 24 hours. So if you're a Cowboys fan like me, you hope that he is asymptomatic. That would be the best version.
Okay, so that's what it comes down to then. If his symptoms aren't getting better.
I haven't heard anything about symptoms for him, so I don't know. I'm hoping he's asymptomatic, and then they can get two negative tests within 24 hours.
I'm going to be a broken record with this. We need to change our tune on asymptomatic testing, if that's what the deal is with him right now. Like, I don't think it's very productive going forward, because we're seeing a big drop in the overall case number. The death number has gone down too. And at this point, I think we're just creating an unnecessary panic with something that is really starting to show itself as having a regional seasonality. So,
plus, on a personal level, I need somebody that can tackle Justin Herbert. Was that too selfish?
Micah Parsons, yeah, Randy Gregory would be that.
I need somebody to send after that kid. Is there any way? Okay. All right, we'll talk more NFL and college football coming up with Brandon Lang at 105. Get some of his thoughts on the big games of the week. See how he's doing so far with the NFL. Up next, though, it's the crab bag, the Scottish guy for this week, plus the drum that just won't fit on the horn.
BetOnline.net.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Wow! I think I know what's happening here. Let me see. Okay. Are you playing Parasite by Kiss?
Come on, man. Y'all know how versatile I am.
I do know how versatile you are.
Game.
But normally...
I'm the first one who said so on the air.
Normally, when you throw that curve, when you throw that Barry Zito 12-6, normally it's like a cool, spooky white chick. I was not expecting Kiss.
Oh, that true. Cool, spooky white chick's probably coming later. Stay tuned, people.
Although some would say Gene Simmons, in a way, is a cool, spooky white chick.
There it is.
Is that what it is?
That's what I was about to do.
Yeah, right.
Good job.
I dig Parasite. Parasite's on the grimier side of Kiss.
This, I did not think Kiss when I heard this at first. That was a great guitar riff to open it up.
Really cool riff. I think this is an Ace Frehley song, which is why it's got a little different feel to it. Yeah, and I think maybe it's... I think Gene's singing it, but I think Ace may have been the guy that wrote this song. Ace has a connection with this one, and a little thicker than a normal Kiss song, but I love this song.
So people call he and I the music snobs of this radio station, which is fine. I'm snobby about everything. I have opinions on things, and people don't like when you say something's awesome or something sucks. This guy is the music historian, though, Zay, and he's also a guy that I swear he could kill. What was that game show back in the day where you hear just a couple of notes? And you can guess what the song is.
Oh, the Name That Tune.
Name That Tune. If there was a singer version of that, and you just hear like two or three words, this guy gets the voice just about every time. It's impressive.
Oh, I appreciate that.
It's impressive.
That's a great little riff, too, on Parasite from Kiss. That'd be a good Kiss song. As your Kiss song of the day, if you like turn your nose up at Kiss, and you're tired of hearing rock and roll all night, and you're tired of hearing Beth, and you're tired of hearing all that, go grab a song like Parasite, because that's a little grimier Kiss. It's got a little dirtier layer to it. I always like songs like that. And that'll lead you to other stuff.
Zay, is Kiss your favorite band that dresses like children at Halloween?
It's a very small category.
Oh, man. Yeah, they're up there.
Okay.
They're up there. I got to go through my list, but they're
Guar.
Up there.
A couple of others. Masked Intruder.
Kiss, Guar, Slipknot, Masked Intruder. And that's really it. Yeah. All right. So Isaiah Collier producing today and already creating incredible conversations with the songs he's playing. I'm sure that will continue. Always great to see Isaiah and hear the tunes and talk to him. It's always great to talk to Brandon Lang. We'll do that at 105. And Sammy P. of Nesson, the betting expert, betting analyst from Nesson, will join us at 205. So we'll help you double the degenerates on the shows on Friday now. Speaking of degenerates, let's get into the crap bag here.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
My bad, Isaiah. I was a little quick there. Story of my life. All right, so we will tell you about this petty Notre Dame-Purdue story coming up. But first, Texas game coming, so we've got the thoughts, the rants, and the ravings of the Scottish guy before Texas plays Rice. Here we go.
Don't fall in love with a dreamer, 'cause he'll break you every time. And every roller coaster that goes up must come down. Just wish it wasn't at the Fayetteville County Fair. So, Steve-O, what in the actual X's and O's football f*** was that? A bully in red asked for your lunch money, and all you could think to say was, do you take cash, credit, and Venmo? And what, pray tell, was this?
I feel good about moving forward. You know, the reality of it is, I told the team today, one team in the history of the NFL has ever gone undefeated.
What did you think was going to happen? Kurt Bowles, old Easy Ed, and the insiders would just applaud and not ask a question? You were part of a team that went undefeated last year. It's part of why you are now flashing a certain hand sign. Please don't go stupid coach speak on us after week two. We've got a ways to go here. Which brings me to this week's lesson. Get your s*** together or you get embarrassed in October. No, not that game. You have to go see Gary a week before that. Gary is the guy that wishes he could be a country singer while spending 51 weeks a year being above average. The other week, he uses to justify his next extension by embarrassing Texas. You have two games to figure out why your team could not block, why they could not tackle, and why you got scared. Saban's not here to save you. Are you Kirby or Coach Boom? Are you Jimbo or little Jeremy Pruitt? Are you a Sark or a medium-sized fish? All right, if you can't block and tackle this team, head meet wall. UT62, the football equivalent of She's Got a Great Personality 3. This is SG, T-I-C-K, T-O-C-K.
All right, there you go.
That was well done. Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes, sir.
Does the Scottish guy have the same life-taking abilities that you do? Because if so, Kurt Bowles and Ed Clemens are on the clock for the next 2 weeks.
I do not know. I don't believe so. I don't believe that is a thing. HornFM.com, the Shirts and Skins page, if you want to check out the Scottish guys from earlier in the season, the hours of the show you might have missed, interviews up there for you, all kinds of stuff at HornFM.com. All right, so here's the story about this Purdue-Notre Dame game. If there ever was a crap bag story, it's this. Purdue at Notre Dame, 1:30 kick tomorrow, NBC. Purdue, if you don't know it, has a big old drum. Texas fans, you can relate. You have a big old drum. You call it Big Bertha. Purdue has a big old drum that they literally call the world's largest drum because they couldn't come up with anything else, I guess. So as of 2017, Notre Dame has redone their stadium. It includes a new visitor's tunnel that is a little tight when it comes to that drum. They've told Purdue, if you can't get it in the visitor's tunnel, you can't bring it. So Purdue, for the first time since 1979, will not be able to bring the drum. Trey, that's pretty petty on Notre Dame's part.
That's disappointing, Chad. And I'm honestly not crazy to see the road fans get put so high up in stadiums right now. I'm not blaming CDC for doing that in DKR. I understand Right. That's the trend of things, so that's what you have to do as well. I like seeing that small group of fans, though, for the opposition close to the field for those rare upsets.
Even if you put them in the end zone.
Even if you put them in the end zone, absolutely.
That's where I like to see them.
Yeah, put them in the corner of the end zone. Those are truly the worst seats in the entire stadium. But to take away some of this sort of pageantry, I'm really not a fan of. Notre Dame, please grow up here. Let Purdue bring that drum in. It's these sorts of things. Yeah, maybe they're a little bit knick-knacky or whatever else you want to call them. They do have novelties to them, but it's what makes college football so special.
Yeah, it's part of what they are. Just let them do it. I don't understand that. That makes no sense.
Side note, if we got rid of Big Bertha tomorrow, I wouldn't bat an eye.
Not a big thing for
that
you?
That thing does nothing for me. I don't dislike it like I do the Cannon. Like, the Cannon is flat-out noise pollution, but Big Bertha, even as a kid, I wasn't infatuated with Big Bertha.
I learned this last year. Did you know they refer to Big Bertha as, like, the first lady of the Texas Longhorn Band? Like, they're the show band of the Southwest, and the Big Bertha is known as, like, the first lady of the band.
Which came first in the UT band, that stupid nickname or the tasseled capes?
I have no idea. So Big Bertha is the first lady of your band, and my dog mascot is a five-star general? Is that what's going on?
I was just about to say,
right?
The more we hear the details of backstories of things that we hold so fond here at UT,
God,
I think we are similar to you guys.
I just love that stuff. All right, also in the crap bag, a couple of numbers that won't get me in trouble this week. Salvador Perez, congrats, 45th homer, ties Johnny Bench's record for the most by a catcher in a season, so he'll break that record. And then Shohei Ohtani, oh my God, he has struck out 100 batters this year as a pitcher. He has hit 40 home runs. He is the only player ever to do both. Over 6,700 guys have struck out 100 batters, and 351 guys have hit 40 jacks. Only Ohtani has done both.
Yeah, but how many no-hitters does he have while stealing four bases, Chad?
Well, he took one into the eighth.
Yeah, he's sick.
He's unreal.
And I'd like to think that he's revolutionizing baseball, but somebody like this, even though we may see more of this going forward, there's only one Shohei.
He's a unicorn. We need to celebrate the unicorn.
Yep.
He is that guy. All right, coming up, the one and only Brandon Lang to tell you what he thinks of this week's games in college and pro football. Don't move. It's the Horn.